Wonderful name. He works in our hearts to come together in fellowship and to learn from him. Praise his name. Well, before we open up the word, let's just commit our time before him and fully understand and experience why we're here today. Heavenly Father, again, it is your love that draws us into your presence. And we thank you, Father, for Jesus, who has made this all possible. Oh, Father, it is so profound when you found us in the state that we were in. There was nothing that you saw within us that convinced you that we were good, worth saving, or whatever. None at all. It's simply the grace and love and mercy of God. And Lord, we are truly grateful for that, and we desire to have our hearts open today to learn from you, so that when we finish later on in this meeting, we go away different because we've had a divine appointment encounter with you. And we thank you for this, Lord, now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got a title today for our teaching, and I'm calling this simply, God Preserves Us. God preserves us. And I'm basing this today from Psalm 41, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 41 and verses 1 to 4, which says, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and you will sustain him on his sick bed. I, the Lord, be merciful to me." I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Now, I'm opening up with this because this is about preservation. It opens up to consider the poor, the needy, the destitute. They have need of being preserved and kept. One of the tragedies of the 21st century and in the Western world, which should never be with these rich economies that we are supposed to have, that we have homelessness on the street. We have people still going hungry. We hear now that food banks are opening in schools. Why do we have this? Because it's about preserving. And we're told that if we have a heart for the poor, that we consider the poor, that the poor, the destitute, are in our prayers and intercessions, it says that the Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. So it's a deliverance for us. It's based on the law of what we sow, so you reap. It says the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. So we're seeing so many diverse ways in which God preserves and keeps. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. So we see that there's a divine principle here when we take preservation seriously, when we see that life is valuable and it should be preserved and helped in whatever way or form. Again, this is commendable in the eyes of God, and the Christian church should certainly have that heart and spirit, without doubt. And when we go through trials or if we have an illness, God says, I'll sustain you on your sickbed. I'll preserve you if you are ill. Because you take preservation seriously. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. There's the humility. There's the acknowledgement. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. In other words, he sinned because he's not been as diligent as he should be toward considering the poor. Now, we're calling this teaching today, God Preserves Us. Now, unless God preserves all life, it will die. And we see where God was going to destroy the whole earth through the flood. That all flesh had become wicked before him. But Noah found favor, grace in God's sight, and he preserved him and his family. If God had not done that, all flesh, all animal, all plant life would have died, perished. There we see the act again of preservation. God was going to destroy Israel and raise up a remnant through Moses. And Moses stood in the gap and said, if you do this, the world will laugh at you, will mock you. It will not glorify your name. Here we see God preserved a nation, Israel, through the prayers of Moses, standing in the gap. Many, many times we see through the course of history where God has raised whatever it is in which to preserve and to keep. You see, God's preservation enables all forces and powers and principalities and dominions and everything to exist. Even the devil himself is preserved to exist until he finds his final state. God has set within the human body that heart within us that pumps some 72 times per minute, pumping life, preserving life in and through our entire body. We see everywhere the preservation of God working. Let's look at some more scriptures. Psalm 36 and verse 6. Psalm 36 and verse 6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Again, that's what he does. Even when God judges, and he will judge in the final days, yet in his mercy he preserves. He preserves a remnant. Acts 17 and verse 28. Acts 17 and verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. So that's what the word of God says. For in him we live and move and have our being. My whole life, my movements, what I say, what I do, are in him. So again, we get this idea of preservation. We're told in Hebrews that he upholds all things by the word of his mouth. The will of God is preservation. Even sinners who rebel against his will, who reject the gift of Jesus Christ, they are even preserved for judgment. Men, demons, and Satan himself are preserved to go into eternal judgment. For eternity, they're even preserved for that. You see, nothing can be preserved independent to his will. His will is to preserve. Whether it is a vessel for honor or dishonor, there's still a preservation right. You are what you are because you are upheld and preserved by God. Your life today, this moment, your very confession to God is because you're preserved by him. All of God's creation in Christ Jesus is preserved in order for Christ to finally hand back to God the Father, all that he's redeemed, so that God will be all in all. So God preserves through his Son, Jesus Christ. There's his preservation act. We also preserve things that God gives us. We have to maintain our cars, that they function properly. Our houses, they have to be looked after. There's always something or something DIY needs doing. It's all part of preservation. It's amazing what God has placed in the world, placed it within us, where we can heal ourselves. God has placed within the world four seasons. Those four seasons are for preserving and healing. Rain, sun, winds are all part of preservation. Birth, death is part of preservation. God has set preservation in this world. Even against those who come against climate warnings. And the climate is getting hotter and hotter and heating up. And all these debates and rebellion and the Green Party and everything going on. Why have we got this? Because they're godless. They're heathen. They cannot see that God has set preservation in life, even in the world. And yet man thinks that he is God and he can preserve all of that. He's deluded. It's all part of the end time of the enemy deceiving in whatever way or form he can. God has set preservation in nature, in life, with you and I. Everything is preserved and held by the word of his mouth. But the world out there doesn't believe it. They believe now that they're so godlike that they can preserve and keep the world because they are in control. The scientists are in control. Government is in control and so on. It's all part of the Antichrist world and system rising up. Deliberate rebellion against Almighty God. History shows where God has preserved and will preserve. And I've already said, even through the flood, preserved Noah and his family, as all life would have perished on planet Earth. It is the nature of God to preserve. That is his love, his grace, his mercy. Is God not got everything under control in these last days? Whatever man is trying to do with all his devilish ideas and new ideas and technology and so on, God is still in control. And he will have the final say, not man. And that is why nature itself, the four seasons, I've already spoken about it, the sun, the winds that we have, the rain, is all part of preservation, preserving this planet. You don't hear much about that on the news, do you? But it is a fact. Let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, to whom are all things, and through him we live. So that's how we live. That's how everything is preserved. Through whom are all things and through whom we live. Everything is preserved and kept through Almighty God. Whatever it looks like. Whatever has happened. And even when God judges, and he will in the last days, he will still preserve a remnant to himself. God always, through history, has a remnant to himself. Church history shows this. who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They're preserved in Christ Jesus. John 5 and verse 17. John chapter 5 and verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." What does he mean by that? Working, preserving, keeping the whole entire universe. Working, preserving, keeping. Even Jesus in his flesh was working, moving towards his final goal of Calvary, the cross, to redeem you and I through the blood of Jesus. Is that not preservation? That is the nature of our Father's heart, is to preserve and keep. The man-child in Revelation 12 is preserved in the womb of the woman. There's preservation again in the last days. The overcomers, as they're maturing and coming forth. Again, preservation. We could go on and on and on with this. And so we find that everything in life has an element of preserving itself. We eat food that God gives us in which to have strength to be preserved. So looking at all that in this sort of introduction I've given, let's look at some areas then that are important for us to learn with regard to our Christian walk in this life. Well, firstly, God expects us to help. Consider those that are less off than we are. We read this back in Psalm 41, verses 1 to 4, which opens up that we are to consider and help the poor, the destitute, those that are less fortunate than we are. Our helping is a form of preserving, keeping. So God wants us very much in tune with his heart and his nature, in his love. And so he expects us to consider those who are less off than we are. This can be the weak and the vulnerable, those that may be sick. Or do we have this attitude that, well, they deserve what they've got. They've not lived a very good life. They've treated other people pretty badly. And now they find themselves sick. Well, that's their hard luck. It may well be, but the point is that is not what we as Christians do. We're to bless our enemies, Jesus said, if it is called for. It's so easy to judge that somebody's done something bad and that's why they're like they are. That's not the heart and attitude that God has saved us for. Proverbs 14 and verse 21. Proverbs 14 verse 21. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Quite clear. So the question is, do we want the Lord to use us in this way? God can't really use you in that way if you bear unforgiveness, resentment, angry toward people. He can't use you if you're like that. And so we're told that if we show mercy and help to the poor, the Lord will deliver us in times of trouble and trial. And this is based on the law of sowing and reaping. You have a law in your life that is in operation every day, 24/7. You can sow life or you can sow death. It is that sowing and that reaping. And that is why we have to humble ourselves in humility before God, so that he will help us to do the right thing. I'm not saying that it's always easy. We're often faced with moral and ethical decisions. Life each day is a challenge. But if we walk humbly before God and in the spirit and not in the flesh, then he's going to enable us. Because at the end of the day, it's Christ in us who reaches out to the unlovable, to the poor, to the weak, to the sick, and so on. We're simply vessels filled with the power of the Spirit of God reaching out through us to this dying world. And he will do this if we want it. Well, secondly, looking at this, we're calling our teaching tonight, God Preserves Us. Secondly, do you want long life? Because your acts of love and mercy by faith preserve you and give you a longer life. A life that is fruitful and giving to others. So one of the main reasons why God will give longevity to us, so that we can be a blessing, that he can continue to use us, yes, even in old age. That's one of the reasons why he'll give us long life, not so that we can go round proudly and say, look at me, I'm 100 years old. That's not what it's about. I hope we all, if the Lord tarries, live to 100 years old and many more years. But the point is your old age, because you are showing mercy, love, grace, especially to the poor. You know, there are many, sadly, who show acts of love and mercy, but for the wrong reasons. This isn't just for family and friends or Christians. It can be even for your enemy. We even need to be careful and have the right attitude. Well, I'll start being helpful and giving to the poor so that I can live a long age. And I won't get sick. No. You see, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong actions. What we're talking about here comes out of the fact that you love God. And he loves you, and you're full of his Spirit. You're one with him, and this just flows. All of these things flow out from us. As well as embracing the poor, our enemies, and so on, and helping where we can. It's because he first loved us. That is the reason. We're told, aren't we, as we read in Psalm 41, that God will preserve us from our enemies. Now, if God doesn't preserve you from your enemies and from the very devil himself, you won't be preserved. So there is a reason for this. It's a preservation. So that God can use you for his glory. He will preserve us in this life. But we've got to be loving. We've got to be giving. Outward looking. If we can help preserve somebody else by our acts of love and charity, That gives glory to God. And that is preserving you from your enemy, from the enemy himself. Because remember, Satan wants to try and destroy us. Thank God, God doesn't let him have free access. Because he's preserving. It's amazing the stories from the wars, particularly World War I and World War II and so forth. There have been many testimonies that have come out where people have been preserved from war. My very mother, who was in World War II, was preserved twice from the enemy. One of them very dramatic, where she had to work, because they were all called up to work during the war, and she was working then on the aircraft. And she told me many times that the sirens went off and they all had to go to their various bunkers. And of course, building aircraft, that was a target for the enemy. And as they had to collect their helmets and their gas masks, she ran out of the hangar, and as she ran, there was a German plane that came right down some 30 feet above her head and was shooting at her. And she managed to get under a type of lorry. And as she jumped on the ground and got underneath, she knocked herself out because she hit her head on something. And after a few minutes, she came round and she realized her life had been preserved. On another occasion, my mother told me again in the same place, they suddenly heard a whistling sound and a bomb had been dropped. And the bomb came through the roof some 30 yards where she was working, and it didn't go off. There is God's preservation. And we see that preservation over our lives as well, because we have time for the poor, for the destitute, for the sick. Well, thirdly, God preserves us. That's what we're talking about today, basing this from Psalm 41, verses 1 to 4. Thirdly, we see divine healing in this. Often recovery requires strength. So God says he will strengthen us as he preserves us. So if we are attacked, then we recover because we have that bodily strength. That's why I believe it's important to have some exercise in one's life. Particularly now in this age and generation we live, because everywhere we go in cars. So it is important that we have a certain amount of exercise, because that exercise strengthens your body. It keeps those levels of estrogen and testosterone, which strengthens the body. And we lose that, particularly as we get older, in the natural, which then makes us more vulnerable to infection and all those things that can happen. Yes, God preserves, he keeps us, but he's also given us legs, arms, and so on. We note that the Word of God, which we're opening up tonight, the Word of God sustains us, preserves us, and keeps us. That word sustain is an interesting word because it means to restore, to be brought back. So the Word of God that sustains us is actually restoring us. It's bringing us back to what God intending us to be. That's why I'm a believer. The Word of God, when preached under the anointing, I always confess and believe that through my preaching that it will reach out body, soul, and spirit. Preserve. This could be why some don't get healed. Some Christians never seem to inquire of God in these areas. Sometimes we are to inquire of God if something happens. Maybe he's trying to get our attention. And that again is why we have to walk humbly before him, because the humble always hear what the Spirit is saying. They do. And fourthly, and finally, it tells us about confession, that our confession is absolutely imperative. Now, I've talked much about confession, because your confession tells you where you are. Your confession tells you how much you're believing. Your confession tells you whether the Word of God is firmly in your life and heart or not. Psalm 6 and verse 2. Psalm chapter 6 and verse 2. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? There we are. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. And God heals the humble, because the humble reveal they're in faith, believing. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So there we are. That is his heart. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. And that is why by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. Why am I stressing all of this? Because God preserves us. And that preservation also includes divine healing. It might include chastening, judging. It can be so many things. But whatever God does, he does in love, and his love preserves and keeps. And that is why he's got a remnant to himself in these last days. And that is why in Revelation 12, the man-child in the womb of the woman, what does the womb speak of? What is a womb? It's to preserve, to keep. A child, a fetus, is preserved and kept in its mother's womb until it fully develops in that 9 months. And then the womb no longer is needed for that job. It's done its job, its purpose in preserving and keeping. And then, of course, when the child is born, then the mother takes over to preserve that little child. There again is preservation. Preservation can come in so many diverse forms and ways, but God is there sustaining. And so spiritually speaking, as I close now, we are being preserved in the womb of the woman, developing, maturing. The enemy is there trying to destroy us, but the womb preserves us from him. Because we are the number one target of the enemy. Did you know that? And he's pretty active around the world. But the overcomers are the number one target of Satan. Because the dragon is right there when you see the imagery of this. But guess what? God preserves us. And you may say to me, well, Kim, I'm not sure about whether he's preserving me. Well, he is. Why are we here tonight? Why are we in fellowship? Why are we listening to this word? Why are we saying amen to it? It's all because he's preserving us. That is why we mustn't come out of this consecration that he set us in. Whatever the situation, whatever is going on, however we feel, we are being preserved in this hour, this moment, for a task that he's going to use us for in the future. That is preservation, brothers and sisters. That is why I say, this shouldn't be happening in the natural. This can't happen in the natural. This has to be of God. You've heard me say that many, many times. And why do I say that? Because I see the preservation of God. That's why. And that gives such encouragement, such comfort, that you just love the Lord even more and more. And we, all of us, have testimonies of where God has preserved and kept us, even from death situations, to sustain and keep us. And he does it not only for his glory, but he's doing it because he's going to reveal to the world again in this last days that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, and he's going to use you and I and the overcoming army to show this ungodly and rebellious world. God has this all under control. Whatever man is saying, whatever the political world is saying, and there's a lot of fear, a lot of confusion, and it's getting worse and worse. Doesn't matter. Leave them alone. God preserves, he keeps, and he will have the final say. Father, thank you again. Thank you for encouraging us and showing us again from the word that you are preserving and keeping us in Jesus Christ. Father, we have nothing to fear. You are in complete control, and you use everything as a means to preserve and to keep. And we only have to read in your word the history of Israel, the very fact that Israel exists, even Israel today, is because she's preserved. And you have a remnant preserved because they will turn back in the last days and receive their true Messiah. Again, preservation. But Father, you're also preserving through our prayers and our intercessions, preserving our families, our loved ones. Doesn't matter what it looks like. The fact is, you are preserving, you are keeping. And so, Lord, I thank you today for our fellowship. Thank you for bringing the saints into the room. Be with them, Lord. Bless them this week. Father, we thank you for this. And till we assemble again, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Now unto him who is able to keep, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding